Good evening, everybody, and we are getting ready to start the candidates forum in about 15 minutes or so. First, we're going to run a sponsor interview, and then we will get into the candidates forum. And I will let you know how you can write in with questions for the candidates that will be speaking tonight when I get back. So, let's take care of the business right now.
Are you an adult who is slowly losing or has lost your vision? Do you get frustrated when you're told by doctors and rehab agents that you need to learn Braille in order to get a job? What if I told you you could learn
Braille? Hold on a minute. See what we got going on here. We got a technical glitch. Hang on.
Are you an adult who is slowly losing or has lost your vision? Do you get frustrated when you're told by doctors and rehab agents that you need to learn Braille in order to get a job? What if I told you you could learn Braille and it could be easy and fun? Introducing the new Perkins Smart Brailler. Everything you type is instantly spoken back and displayed in print in simulated Braille on an integrated screen and can be saved to a USB flash drive and transferred as a text file to a PC, making the learning experience easier than ever. Or learn at your own pace by using the downloadable app of Braille Lessons, which can be included on the Smart Brailler. Hear the words, see the letters, connect the dots. See the Perkins Smart Brailler at smartbrailler.org or stop by Perkins Products at booth 11.
You're listening to the 51st Annual National Convention of the American Council of the Blind in Louisville, Kentucky. And here is Larry Turnbull.
Hello, I'm Larry Turnbull with ACB Radio, and with me is Naomi Black and Laura Primero with Google. Hello, Naomi.
Hi, Laura. Larry.
Hello.
Hi. We're happy to be here. So I'm an accessibility engineering manager at Google. I lead the team that is responsible for helping other teams at Google understand how to make our products work better for people with all kinds of disabilities. And I work externally, coming to events like ACB to meet with users and see if I can help convey your words and things that you need to our internal teams.
Great, and I'm Laura. I'm actually an account manager within our online sales division of Google, but I actually work on accessibility outreach as a side project, both internally and externally. So very, very happy to be here today.
That's really great. So first, we'll talk about what have you worked on since the focus groups last year, and that will probably tie into the survey. So what have you got going for this year?
Yeah, so the focus groups last year at the ACB conference were a fantastic opportunity for us because we were so close to our headquarters in Mountain View. We just all got on a bus and we took a bunch of our product team people, and it was fantastic to meet with members and talk to them about how you're using the web today, how you use our products, what things work and what didn't. And one of the things that became really clear to us in the process of doing the focus groups was that we really wanted to have a clear and nuanced picture of who is the blind user using a product on the internet today. And we realized that there's a lot of stereotypes of what people imagine that person looks like, what their needs are. And so we wanted to get sort of a more differentiated picture of what that person is and what their needs are. So we partnered with the ACB to run this survey, and we were amazed. We got nearly 1,000 respondents, and people were very generous with their time, answering lots of questions about how they use computers, what kinds of education and training they get in how to learn to use the assistive technologies they use, how they make decisions about whether to upgrade, and what they're doing online. And so we're reporting on this at ACB, and really excited to be back here to meet again with the membership and talk to people and learn from you about the improvements we made in this past year, how those are working for you, and what kinds of things we could do next.
Okay, on to the driverless cars. A lot of people have been buzzing about this one throughout the time that Google had released the prototype, so to speak, when they had that one guy, blind guy, driving the car. Can you tell us more about how these cars work and what they do?
Sure, I'd love to. And I should correct you a little bit. We think of them more as self-driving cars rather than the driverless cars. I mean, the idea that we want people to really understand is, in this case, that there is a driver. The driver is the car. And we're really excited about this technology. And actually, that's one of the reasons that Laura is here with me, is mm-hmm. that she's doing some of the outreach around this project. So I don't know if you want to give an overview of what that project is.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're just extremely excited to even be talking about this. It's definitely more of a long-term project for us as a company, but we're just thrilled to be kind of in this space at this point. We believe that this sort of self-driving technology is actually going to be hugely beneficial to the entire world. So really going to be helping improve the safety of just on the road in general. It's going to make driving more enjoyable, more efficient just for everyone. And when you think about it, you know, we have the stat that over 1.2 million people worldwide are actually killed on the road every year in car accidents. And that's not even considering the number of people who are injured in car accidents. So being able to actually implement this autonomous technology is going to be hugely beneficial and really start to minimize some of that human error that most of these accidents are actually caused by. So we're in the middle of a pretty significant testing period and just testing all sorts of different situations. And Naomi, I'm not sure if you want to talk a little bit more about the details, but we're just thrilled to be seeing this just take off at this point. And yeah.
I think it's important to talk about the technology. I mean, we're a technology company, and what we specialize in is handling large amounts of data. And some of the technological challenges involved in making a car that can drive itself are really huge. And we're excited because we like big problems that are going to affect people's quality of life directly, and this meets both of those needs. But I want to talk a little bit about what's involved in making a car drive itself. And so the first step is you need a map. And so we've built very, very detailed maps that allow us, I mean, think about Google Maps. Imagine something much, much more detailed than that, that really covers very small details of the contours of the road and things that are on the road and near the road. It's integrated with, you know, traffic safety information and all of those things that are built up to tell the car, you know, this is what the road is. And the car itself is equipped with sensors. And so before we can even drive the car in an autonomous mode, first we have to go through our map with the car and all those sensors and make sure that we have a very detailed picture of what's going on. And that generates, you know, imagine how much detail is coming in from all of the sensors on the car. That generates a vast, vast amount of data, and we process that using our data centers. And so once we've built that map and we've driven it with the car and we've used the car's sensors to figure out what's on the road and what's nearby, then we can try driving it in an autonomous mode. And what happens is, in an autonomous mode, the car is tracking the map, and it's using all the same sensors that were part of building the map to also find out where it is on the map and to compare it. Because obviously, if you're on the road, now the road has pedestrians on it, it has cyclists, it has other drivers, and the car needs to constantly update its information against its map to find out what's changed, what's new, how does it adjust its speed. And so it's a really big, difficult problem to solve, and we think that you'll start seeing some of these technologies making their way into sort of more conventional cars. But our long-term goal, and it will take us a while to get there because it is such a difficult challenge, our long-term goal is really to give everybody the choice of whether they'll drive or whether they won't.
Yeah, and how does the car know if something all of a sudden jumps out in front of it, like another car or a pedestrian or anything like that? Would it be able to react on its own to slow or even stop?
So our goal is to build the car so that they can react to all the different kinds of unforeseen things that might happen. And one way that we do this is we're very careful in how we build our models. We also equip the cars with a lot of different kinds of sensors. And all those sensors, as the car is in self-driving mode, they're watching the road, they're looking for different kinds of obstacles. Some of the sensors actually can look not just at the car ahead of you, but they can actually see, you know, under or through that car to what might be ahead of it. So where a human driver might be looking at just the taillights of the car in front of them, and they might miss something that's a car ahead, our self-driving car, we're developing technology that would allow it to react things, we hope, actually much faster than a human being would. But obviously, safety is a really big concern. We're not going to release any of these features until we're convinced that they make the car itself safer than the road would be with a human driver. And so,
pretty good, the chorus line of candidates. Or should we instead operate in a slightly different way? And we decided that what we should do is to divide into two segments. So the two segments that we're going to be doing are the Board of Publications first, and then we're going to be doing the Board of Directors after that. We're going to be doing just two questions for the Board of Publications, and then one question from the audience. And then, after that, we'll take a short break while the Board of Publications folks run away. And we will then move the Board of Directors candidates up to the front, and we will do three questions for them and two questions from the audience. So that's the plan. Now, if you add all of those numbers up, you'll find it'll probably take us to pretty close to 8:30. Well, we have sometimes gone till 9, but I don't think we will tonight. My experience has been that people get pretty grouchy after about an hour and a half.
I think antsy is the proper term.
There you go.
Grouchy works, actually.
I like grouchy.
I think so.
Well, they're both correct.
Never crabby, for the record, all right?
Yeah. like the talking clock.
I think it's 8:30.
20 seconds to go.
20 seconds.
Sorry about that. The microphone was doing something weird. Candidates at acbradio.org is the email.
There you go. I should do that.
ACB Radio is the Twitter ID you can tweet to if it's a very short question. In the email, please be sure to state your name.
Ladies and gentlemen of ACB Radio, what you just heard was the Board of Directors
candidate. So my filter doesn't filter you out.
This is the talented crop of people that are electing to serve you.
Hey, finally lost it.
You're getting punchy after this.
Didn't even wait till tomorrow to lose it. They've just lost it.
That's right. It's over.
What? What?
We have to choose from.
I think ACB Radio.
Oh, it is.
Is it? Yeah.
Is Tom here?
No. They're not here.
Well, what do you think, Mr. Chris? I think.
We are live on ACB Radio right now, whenever you're ready.
Are the board candidates all here? Maybe we should actually start with them.
Well, I... I was, yes.
I was going to do the same thing when I heard you saying that.
Right. Larry, we are probably going to start, no matter what, in 3 minutes, and we apologize to ACB Radio listeners for being late. We're planning to do the Board of Publications first, and at the moment, we're short half of our complement. No. So we're thinking, and unfortunately, I don't know if Dan Spoon has gotten back yet.
Oh, no, I decided not to go.
So an option that we have then is to swap around and do it in the other order. What do you think, Jay? Do we have all of our...
Is Sarah here?
Is Sarah here?
Okay, while they're planning that, I'll once again repeat the email address to send your question, candidates, plural, that's plural, candidates at acbradio.org, and in the subject line put the word candidate, and then once that is done, in the email address be sure to put your name and where you're from, and your question for the candidates. And we'll work quickly to get them out on the floor. Also, you can tweet us at ACB Radio. And if the question is short enough, I know some of the questions can get quite long. So if you think it's going to be a long one or, you know, like a two-pointed question, be sure to email it. And Rachel has just joined me.
Hello. I just got finished with the Florida caucus, although it wasn't ended when I left, so
yeah.
That's the issue here, that they're trying to get all the candidates in place for the candidates forum. You kind of have to add the candidates, right? so we're happy to be able to bring this to you and get you all the information you need to know about your leaders of ACB.
Okay, and as Paul just stated, there's going to be 3 prepared questions for the candidates that are going to come from the moderator, and then there'll be 2 from the audience. So that's how it's going to work. So hopefully you can get your questions in there quick, and we'll try to get them in there quickly as well. And we will see how this works. I'm going to go ahead and open the house, so it'll be ready when they're ready to start.
All right. Mr. Turnbull, what do you think? 1 minute?
You can do that, or sooner if you like. We're ready for you.
All right.
Is everybody ready?
All right. Let's do it in 5 seconds, Mr. Turnbull. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Edwards, and I am chairman of the Board of Publications of the American Council of the Blind, and we would like to welcome all of you to tonight's Candidates Forum. In addition to our audience here, it is our pleasure to be going out live to the world on ACB Radio. The other person who is primarily taking part as a questioner and a co-host is the newest member of the Board of Publications, who was appointed by the President at the beginning of January or the end of December this year. Time all sort of blurs together when you're having fun. Mr. Nolan Crabb. So perhaps you'd like to say a few words, Nolan?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. I'm just going to adjust this a tiny bit. We're certainly glad, on behalf of all of the Board of Publications, to have you here. Those of you who are in the audience, we look forward to your questions and your thoughts, and I'm sure these candidates are eager to speak and let you know what they think as well. So it promises to be an interesting night. We're glad to have you here. And certainly good evening to all of you on ACB Radio this evening.
So we have 5 board positions that are up for election tomorrow. There are 2 individuals who are able to run for another term. One of those individuals is Michael Garrett, and the other of those individuals is Burl Colley. There are then 3 other positions that we will be electing tomorrow. And the candidates who are running for those 3 positions include Doug Powell, John McCann, Dan Spoon, and Sarah Conrad. Ladies last. How rude. So essentially, what we're going to do is to kind of go in one direction, starting from one end, and have folks pass the mic as we go through this these questions. And then we'll come back in the other direction for the second round. So I get to ask the first question of this group. And the question essentially is, in 1 minute, tell us a little about yourself and tell us what qualifications you think you bring to serve on ACB's board of directors. And we will start with, let's see, who's at the near end?
Me.
You.
Yeah.
Then we'll start with you.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Burl Colley, and along with Michael, I am running for a second term on the ACB Board of Directors. I live in Lacey, Washington. I'm retired in 2003 from a company called OCLC, which is International Online Library Support Service, and I was a software developer for them. Lived in Washington all my life, and I am proud of that, actually.
Qualifications?
My qualifications for this office is that I am strong on money matters. I've been on the ACB budget, along with Michael, for the last 4 years.
30 seconds.
And I'm also chair of the Leadership Institute, chair of the Oral History Project, chair of the DAISY Conversion Project, co-chair, along with Dan Dillon, of the Resource Development Committee, and I did co-chair the Health Concerns Committee last year.
Thank you. Who's next?
Next is me, Michael Garrett. I am Michael Garrett, and as Beryl said, running for a second term on the ACB Board of Directors. I hail from the great metropolis of Missouri City, Texas, which is really a suburb of Houston. And I'm a retired investment banker and a member of this organization for over 20 years. And I think my qualifications are a strong financial background, and most of the committees that I've served on have something to do with money. As Burl said, we both have served on the budget committee. I serve on the investment committee, work with the RDC, work with ACBES, worked a little bit on public relations. Those are the areas that I think my strengths lie.
Thank you, sir. Now, those are the two incumbents. Those folks are seeking a new their last term. And now we'll move to the four folks who are, in fact, coming up for election for the first time.
Thank you, Paul. My name is John McCann. I'm running for a position on the Board of Directors. I'm a 1980 graduate of Harvard Law School. I've been involved in ACB since roughly 1981 or 1982. I've served in just about all board positions and officer positions in the Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, who have endorsed me for this run. And I also expressed my commendation to the nominating committee for having reported me out. I was the executive director of the Affiliated Leadership League of and for the Blind of America from late 1984 to 86. I was the commissioner of the Virginia Department for the Visually Impaired up until 1990. I served on all board positions with services for the visually impaired in which is services for the visually impaired in the Washington, D.C. area from 1993 to 2007. I'm running because I want to be a part of the dynamic board team that will manage the change that lies ahead in ACB.
Thank you, John. Next.
Good evening. This is Sarah Conrad from Stevensville, Michigan. I have many qualifications for the board of directors. I have experience as a leader. I am the ACB students president, and I have been for the past 2 years. I have also had extensive work within membership. I've established 2 new programs to encourage younger members, including our scholarship mentoring program that started here in Louisville, as well as an adopt-a-student that will be working this next year to bring more students to the National Convention. I've worked a lot with fundraising while president. We have seen our treasury grow considerably within my leadership.
30 seconds.
And I also have other fundraising experience outside of ACB within many nonprofits. I have had a lot of experience with social networking. I currently run our Twitter for ACB students as well as our Facebook page and have helped to establish a social networking committee.
10 seconds.
I am full of integrity, compassion, and I'm just a genuine person ready to serve on the ACB board. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Who's next?
Hello, my name is Dan Spoon. I'm from Orlando, Florida. From an educational background, I graduated with an undergraduate degree from the University of Florida in finance and an MBA concentrating in accounting. Not being able to get a job at a Big 8 accounting firm because they wouldn't hire anybody who was blind. I then opened up my own pizza business, which seemed like the next logical thing to do. I did that for 8 years. I was an entrepreneur. I then went back and got high-tech training, and I got a job at Westinghouse Electric Corporation as an entry-level computer programmer. I've been there for the last 23 years and am a director in process reengineering. I hope I can bring those skills to the board. In addition, I've also served as president and treasurer of our local affiliate, as well as an officer in the Florida Council of the Blind. I've most recently been on the RDC, serving fundraising activities. I look forward to your support. Thank you.
And who's next?
Doug Powell from Falls Church, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Currently the president of the Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. That's the Virginia affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. I'm also currently on the State Rehabilitation Council that works with the Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired, the state agency that does rehabilitation. And I was chair of that that council for 2 years. I'm also currently, I work actually, some of you may recognize my voice because I am currently a contract employee with National Industries for the Blind.
I go
around to different agencies to facilitate training in communication skills, leadership skills, and teamwork skills. I am currently on the
15 seconds.
The ACB committees, the Rehab Issues Task Force, and the Leadership Training Task Force. We put on a Leadership Institute, a new thing that we started. And also I was the chair of a steering committee for a new Mid-Atlantic Regional Convention several years ago.
Thank you. And that's it.
That's it.
Yep. All right. So we've now heard the first round of questions. And to ask the second question, here's Mr. Crabb.
Thank you. Just going to turn this ever so gently so as not to blow the speakers out of the folks listening at home on ACB Radio. Good evening, candidates. I've tried hard to channel the ghost of Mike Wallace here so that I could come up with a question that would absolutely rock your world. Unfortunately, some sort of Oprah-style static kept getting in the way, and so the cosmos was unyielding with regard to Mr. Wallace. As a result, you'll be relieved and happy, I think, that we're going to give you a bit of a softball, and yet, maybe not. It's not confession to Father Crabb time. I don't want you to wax overly personal. But I do want you to think. Here's your question. I want you to think of one event in your personal life of which you are particularly proud. And I want you to describe how you can translate the success or the pride you have in that event to your future work as a member of this board.
And we'll start with Doug Powell and move back the other way.
Sure. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, good. This is an easy one. In 2010, I did an Ironman triathlon. That's 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and a 26.2-mile run all on the same day. And I finished it in 16 hours and 6 minutes. that for a blind person, you know, I'm not the first blind person, I'm not the fastest blind person, all that kind of stuff, but I did it, and I was 60 years old at the time. So what that means to me, why I'm proud of that, is that it took a year of total dedication to be able to do that. Training, I did hours and hours on the back porch.
30 seconds.
On my trainer, you know, on my stationary trainer, on my bike, on the back porch. I did whatever it took to be able to walk to the line and be able to complete that Ironman triathlon, and it was the culmination of a 26-year-old dream that
I had.
And very
quickly, how do you translate that to your potential success as a board member?
Well, I say I'm not fast, I'm stubborn. So I am stubborn. When I get on something, it gets done, and it will get done well.
Thank you. Let's move on.
Same question.
Yes. Well, I'm actually going to answer two, but the first one real quickly. The thing personally I'm the most proud of is the fact that Leslie Spoon considered marrying me. that will never end. The second thing is, in my professional life, the fact that I was hired as a blind individual in a multinational company of Westinghouse Electric Corporation and given a chance in a company of several hundred thousand people as the first blind person to be employed. And over the last 23 years, to get promoted 5 times to a position of second level manager, where I oversee a budget of $10 million and I have 20 employees, that means a lot to me, because that means as a blind person, I am demonstrating the ability to go out there, make decisions, follow through, run projects, stay within budget, and get the work done. And for me, that has been a very fulfilling accomplishment.
And how do you plan to translate that into a success as a board member?
Yes, well, I hope I bring that kind of private industry perspective to the board. I see, as we've worked here and listened over the last few years, we have a lot of wonderful ideas on the board. We don't seem to really follow those through with really well-written set of objectives that we measure people against, both our staff and ourselves and our committees. So it's a lot to say we want to do things. We have to set smart, established goals and objectives and be able to follow through on those and measure and be accountable to those. I do that every day in my daily work, and I hope to be able to bring that perspective to the board.
Thank you. All right. Next.
This is Sarah Conrad. I think what I'm most proud of in my life is my ability to fight, which began when I was 1 year old and I was diagnosed with cancer. And I had chemotherapy on and off as a kid and struggled through many medical problems because of my tumor. And I think that this struggle gave me pride because I turned it from a burden into a blessing. It has given me so many qualities of compassion, but also qualities of patience and encouragement and truly faith that can move mountains. And I think that is so important as a leader, someone that has had to be determined all of their life, someone who has had to be patient. Patience and leadership always go together. And I think faith too. I think being able to see the big picture and know that even in struggle, in leadership and in an organization, that great things can come from those struggles. Thank you.
Thanks. Good. Next.
Well, I will get personal. The thing I'm most proudest of, and I will tie this in, arose basically in a point of my life which could be at a certain level regarded as a failure that I redeemed myself from. I did allude to the fact that I was a commissioner of the Department for the Visually Impaired from 1986 till basically late 1989. That was not as successful as it could have been for two reasons. First of all, I was managerially inexperienced, but the other reason was I was prevailed upon to do things that I did not think were in the best interest of the blind. And the thing that I am most proud of, and I say this without equivocation or apology, is that I held with my integrity, and I did not, you know, knowing what I'd be facing if I stood up to the powers that be, and I did in fact face it. They kind of sent me packing, but I did not give in to that pressure. I did not sell out my blind brothers and sisters. I didn't do it as commissioner, and I certainly won't do it as a board of directors member. Also, you know, there were other dynamics. I thought that merely because I had the title, I could sort of dictate the change. I talked about wanting to be a change agent, but at that young age, I didn't really fully realize the necessity for buy-in. I made some mistakes as commissioner. Trust me, I will not make them as a member of the board of directors. I know how important it is to get membership buy-in. Don't think because you've been elected to something or because people are throwing accolades at you, you have the power. You must communicate effectively, you must sell it, you must get them to see the vision, and don't think that you can just impose it on people.
All right, cool, thank you.
Yes, this is Michael Garrett. 1994, I'm an investment analyst at J.P. Morgan Chase. I'm a lowly utilities analyst, some of the slowest moving stocks in the investment arena. An eight analyst team. At the end of the year, who outperformed the whole group but the utility analyst, Michael Garrett? That's one of the most proudest moments in my professional year, to outperform the growth analysts. It took ingenuity. It took a little thinking out of the box. It took a little stick-to-itiveness and determination to put forth the ideas that I put forth and to sell those to the portfolio managers so that they bought those stocks and they made more money in my recommendations than any of the other analysts. I believe I have demonstrated that somewhat on this board, and I will continue to do that by coming in as a first-termer and saying, we need to develop a corporate relationship policy. Now we have one. There are other ideas, sort of thinking out of the box, that we need to do to continue to expand and to grow this organization, and that's where I want to be.
Thank you. Mr. Colley.
My pride is an ongoing pride. It's not in any particular one event. It starts off some 32 years ago when I married Denise Colley, and we have been a team ever since. Our love is really a binding thing for us. However, I've been able to, I think, it might be arguable, but I've tried to use that in our first term and been appointed to a number of chairs that have seen accomplishments, not because I accomplished them, but because I was able to work with the members of the committee or task force or project to get the goals that we had achieved. And so I take pride in that ability to hopefully be a good coordinator.
Thanks.
Excellent. So I'm going to pretend that I'm Nolan and
hi, Nolan.
And turn the mic ever so gently.
Good job.
And the third question that I'd like to ask is also a little different from the norm, and we'll see how we like it. And
we'll see how we like it.
And we might as well go back in the other direction so that I can justify the sense that I'm unfair across the board. So here's the question. What unpopular position have you taken, and how will you try to assure that that unpopular position gets adopted by the board?
I think the unpopular positions I've taken have to do primarily with money expenditures. During the first 4 years of my service on the board, there have been several opportunities where I've had the opportunity and felt like I had the need to stand up and say, wait a minute, that doesn't fly with me. Try to do it in a gentle way so that it allows debate on that. I believe that the way that we resolve problems is to have the discussion and then to make your point strong enough to where others see it your way. And if you don't, then obviously they have a stronger argument than you do.
Very good.
I don't know if you could say position of unpopular, taking an unpopular view, but part of what I have said earlier in terms of thinking out of the box, thinking progressively, moving in a different work direction, I think in some cases we have been slow and ponderous. The idea, and I'll give you an example. The constitutional amendment that we passed this morning regarding an advisory board is not a new idea, but it's something that has been sorely needed in this organization. It's the thinking process, those kinds of things that I look for, that I try to talk about in any of the committees that I serve on. We've got to do something a little bit different because we're getting the same results out of what we've been doing.
Thank you.
Well, just to back up what I'm going to say, I do want to point people to www.samobile.net/users/John, J-O-H-N-M-C. I think the board may be facing some very unpopular decisions. In the board meeting, and I'll say it because it was not an executive session, Steve Abramski talked to the board, and he said three things, and he's been hired to look at grants. It is hard to impossible to get money if you do any lobbying, never mind that you're good to go with the IRS. If you do any lobbying, you're not going to get money. If you are a national organization, you're not going to get grant funding money. And if you are a membership organization, you're not going to get any funding. Particularly with respect to membership, think about it. People hear that you're a membership organization say, oh, great, let them pony up. Now, am I running as the candidate who is going to recommend raising your dues? If the person who cleans up the guide dog relief area, if that was an elected position, I couldn't be elected to that, okay? But it is time that we had a serious discussion in this organization. If we are going to ask from outside money, they're going to say, how much are you doing for yourselves? Does that mean that we have to raise dues as such? No. But maybe more fundraisers that are internal to us. I think there are people in this organization that believe that the membership is being too much put upon. For $5, you're getting Braille Forum, a CVAA, the 21st Century Communications Accessibility Act, quiet car legislation, accessible currency, everything that Linda Dardarian and Lainey Feingold do for us. You know, there's a song that on the seminal Who album, Who's Next? I call that a bargain, the best I ever had. Well, ACB is the bargain, the best we ever had, the best we're ever going to get, but I'm not at all sure it's sustainable. We are going to really have to face this issue of, I'm channeling Jack Kennedy, if we're going to channel people, ask not. You know, we need, the membership of this organization may have to accept the need to do more. I'm not willing to take that off the table.
This is Sarah Conrad. The issue that I resonate with most isn't unpopular in itself, but it's more talked about and not actually practiced. And that is the issue of getting young people involved in ACB. We talk about it all the time. We heard it in our Leadership Institute. We hear it in state affiliate meetings constantly. But a lot of times, we don't necessarily have students rising up, and there's a lot of fear that goes along with having young people elected into positions. I think that ACB has had some students in the past who have not been organized, who have not had the commitment and the passion that was needed in order to fulfill these positions on the board and in other leadership. But not all students are the same. And I am very committed to ACB. I'm here for a long, long time. You can't get rid of me yet. And I'm so ready to help this age gap. I think that the future of ACB truly does rest in the hands of younger members, and that future is safe with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Dan Spoon. I don't think I have to go back any further than an unpopular position than the session that just ended earlier this morning. as a member of the RDC, we brought a bylaw proposal before the bylaw committee on a 13-0 vote out of our RDC to go ahead and see if we could extend the communications into our state and local affiliates by asking for a list of officers and local chapter presidents. I was surprised when I got to the bylaws committee to reach such strong opposition. Don Thompson basically said, "This is stupid and we will not do this. Take this stupid idea away from us right now. You will be voted down." And sure enough, the bylaw committee voted it down unanimously. But what they asked me to do representing the RDC in that, saying this is unpopular, this should go to referral, it should not be discussed on the floor. And I took, I believe, an unpopular position according to the bylaw committee, and I said, no, I believe this is an issue that needs to be discussed in the open body. I won't refer it for another year. I want to have a debate on it. I want to see where our organization stands on this. And we took it to the floor today, and guess what? It ended up being referred for another year. But what we got out of that was a real sense of where the organization stands.
10 seconds.
We received the majority of the votes from the people that were in the hall, but not from the delegate votes. It shows us that's where you start to grow. You have to have a good dialogue, and I'll always fight for what I believe is the right thing to do.
Thank you.
All right,
it's Doug Powell again, and I'm an innovator, so I have unpopular ideas until I persuade people that they're not that unpopular anymore. I'm also a consensus builder, so I start from the premise, you know, I look at things and I try to, so for instance, when I did the Mid-Atlantic Regional Convention, I wanted a different convention. I'm a firm believer that if this organization is going to grow, it's going to grow because we give good programs to our current members and we attract new members by the programs and services we provide. And that's what I wanted to do with our convention rather than having the same old people saying the same old thing all the time. So I had to language that almost every phone call that we had while we were planning it, and make sure that people understood it and reminded of it, so that we could move forward. And we moved forward together, and we created a consensus convention that was one of the best that we've ever had. And that's what I would like to bring to the board, that same kind of innovative thinking and then consensus building.
Thank you very much. One of the things that the Board of Publications is fortunate to have is an editor whose name is Sharon Lovering. Tonight, she is not functioning as an editor. Instead, she is going to function in just a few minutes as the person who is going to pretty arbitrarily pick a couple of people out of the audience to ask questions, and we'll do it one at a time. So, if you guys have a question for the folks who are running for the board, please stand. Now, if we had some Jeopardy music, we'd be in good shape. I fear people don't...
Oh, dear. See what you've done. They're hitting Alt-F4 right now.
And that was the board of directors candidates, ladies and gentlemen. I know you folks in ACB Radio are extremely glad you didn't have to watch that.
This is Ken Stewart. What specific techniques would you propose to maximize the openness of the activities of the Board of Directors for our membership out there on the hustings?
Okay, so let me kind of repeat John's question. What particular Ken Stewart's, what did I say?
John.
John. Ah, that's right. Well, I was thinking of John Stuart Mill. Yes, what particular techniques of openness would you apply on the board of directors to assure that you were appropriately communicating with the broad mass of membership on the hustings? And let's let John McCann start.
Hadn't thought this through totally, but, you know, in my blog, yes, I have a blog, I already gave you the address, I talk about my belief in the democratizing communicative power of the internet, and I meant it. Worked for Obama in 08, seemed to have worked for the Arab Spring, although with a lot of turmoil and unfortunate loss of life. Blessedly, we're not in that posture here, God willing. Seems to me maybe we could put that out over ACB Radio. Everything except the executive sessions. If it's okay to sit along the wall and listen to what the board has to say, why not stream it?
Okay, that's a good example. Let's do Burl Colley. Thank you.
I think it's important that the membership is aware of what goes on in the board meetings. And in addition to what John just said, we have a lot of conference calls. We may have as many conference calls during a year that we have face-to-face meetings. We haven't really been welcoming to folks that are just part of the membership who would like to listen in. We've not really offered the hand of, here's the board, do you want to listen to what we have to say? So some of the decisions, a number of the decisions we've made have come about really in a closed session, if you will. It's not an executive session, although we've had those too, but it's a closed meeting pretty much, and the membership really should have the opportunity to lurk, if nothing else.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to Sarah.
Yes, I definitely agree with both Burl and John. Certainly there hasn't been, this hasn't been tapped into so much. And I think that transparency is such a crucial part of leadership. Obviously there are pieces of board discussions that cannot be broadcast to the masses. But I think using social networking and social media is a great way to go. It would not necessarily get to everyone because we do have members who are not computer savvy or don't own computers. And so certainly other ways of doing so, writing articles for the forum would help supplement that. But I think that this is an issue that should certainly be addressed. I think that the general population of ACB should feel connected with the board. They should know their leaders and know the issues that are being discussed. It just makes for a transparent organization.
Thank you very much. Mr. Spoon.
Oh, thank you, sir. First of all, I think we have to advertise. We have to really get the word out there. We have to market that we're having board meetings, and we have to make them very inclusive to everybody. A lot of times a board meeting happens and I don't know that the general population of ACB even knows a board meeting has taken place. So I think we've got to get the word out through our leadership lists, through our general lists, through our websites, through chatter. We've got to get through all collaborative efforts the word out that we are having meetings. And then once we have meetings, we need to very quickly follow through by publishing meeting minutes. And then not only publishing the meeting minutes, but send them out to our general population and ask for comments. I think a lot of times we are professorial from a pulpit, but we're not really out there asking, what do you think? What could we do better? Solicit input. So I think it's not only broadcasting our board meetings, but it's also getting input back.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Let us now hear from Mr. Powell.
Thank you. Yeah, Dan hit kind of what I was going to say. certainly we need to keep exploring ways of broadcasting and transparency from, quote, from above, unquote. But also, I think that I notice, you know, in a lot of cases when leaders, ACB leaders go out to the state conventions, they're used very well, but mostly it's still in the broadcast mode. And I'm wondering if there, I like to sit down and say, okay, what do you need? You know, what are we, you know, what would you like us to be doing that we're not doing, or how would you like us to be doing it better? And so I think there's room for us to grow in that area in terms of soliciting information from the, really from the grassroots. We all came from the grassroots, and we all feel like we would like to think that we represent the grassroots, but we also need to keep in touch with them and make sure that we're still on the right track.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Garrett.
To be quite honest, there's not a whole lot I can add to what these folks have said.
You're tail end Charlie.
Right, right. But it is the responsibility of the board to be inclusive of the grassroots members. And while some of the meetings we've had, especially as Burl mentioned, the conference call meetings, have been, they're not impromptu, because the Constitution bylaw says we have to announce them 14 days in advance. So the meetings are available, and the grassroots have access to them, and then we have the responsibility of acting upon the decisions made and the input by the general membership.
Thank you, Michael. Now the Vanna White of the Board of Publications will now choose another candidate.
Hi, this is Maureen Schultz, Berkeley, California. I know this question I'm going to ask is not going to be able to be in any way answered, but this is a question I ask myself all the time. So I wanted some thoughts on it, please. In this age of what one could call corporate capitalism, how does one run a successful nonprofit organization, and where does one embrace the corporate paradigm, and where does one oppose it?
Good question, I suppose. So
somebody had to rock their world.
That's right. So let's start with Sarah.
Wow, now we go for ladies first?
That's okay. It.
Oh, man. Well, I'm probably not going to do a very good job answering this question. But I think certainly a successful nonprofit organization, I think there is a vicious cycle that I see within nonprofits, and that's membership and fundraising. And it's like this circle. It's one affects the other. If you don't have money, then you don't have members. And if you don't have members, well, you're not going to have money. And so I think that that's certainly a huge part of the nonprofit. It's figuring out how to do both. It's having strong people who are skilled in both membership and fundraising. And sorry, this is not a very good answer to your question, but it's certainly what I've experienced within ACB students, to have a strong treasurer working on fundraising, but also to have a strong secretary working on membership, and then strong leadership helping to work in between both of those to make sure that they're connected. I think that that's also important in leadership, that all of our groups work together, all of our leaders work well together. Thanks.
From the youngest to one of our more experienced folks, Mr. Garrett.
Skip me, I like it.
I think it's a great question, to tell you the truth. because I talk about this capitalism and this paradigm between the corporate capitalism and nonprofits. It is a vicious circle. But I think the successful nonprofit organizations have found a way to mobilize themselves such that their membership seeks connections and buy into some part of the corporate world. It's sort of like playing the game. You play as far as you can, get what you want, and the rest of it you leave alone. It's like one of the problems we had or issues we had in developing our corporate relationship policy is in determining which products and services we wanted to endorse or put a seal of approval on. And so what we come up with is really trying to define who we are, what our goals are, and how to achieve those goals, and who in the corporate arena can help us do that. And I think we're sort of on that track now. We're moving ponderously slow at it, but I think we will get there, and I think the benefit will be that ACB will become a giant, not only in the blindness community, but be recognized in the larger community.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go from a former corporate capitalist to a current one, Mr. Dan Spoon.
Hello. That's a very interesting question, and I've been kind of, believe it or not, noodling on this a little bit all week, because something really caught my fancy when the gentleman from Major League Baseball came and spoke to us on Sunday night. So here was an organization that we actually, you know, did a settlement engagement with Linda and company on how, you know, how could Major League Baseball make their websites accessible for blind people? And what we heard is how hard, in this case, corporate America in baseball has worked to make their websites accessible. They've got 250 programmers working on improving their collaborative efforts through websites, through online broadcast and streaming. We in ACB will never have the resources to develop anything that comes close to that. But wouldn't it be wonderful for a win-win for ACB and Major League Baseball if we work collaboratively with them? I have an opportunity to work for a large private corporation, and we volunteer countless hours to our community, to high schools, to our University of Central Florida across the street. Why not work with Major League Baseball to see if some of those 250 programmers can give some of their expertise to us as a charitable organization? Don't go and ask for money. Ask for services in kind. Ask for their knowledge. Ask for a way that we collaborate with these folks. Most folks want to do good. I believe there's a lot of untapped opportunity out there in private corporate America to help ACB.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Let's go to our first contestant from Virginia, Mr. Doug Powell.
Thank you. There's a fundamental difference between a nonprofit and a corporate capitalist, you know, corporate company. Corporate companies have interested in making money for their shareholders, which is an outside influence. The nonprofit and ACB in particular is interested in creating programs for its members and for prospective members. And so I think that doing things at any cost is not part of our culture here. What we want to do is create the best service programs and services for our membership, and also to make life better for blind and visually impaired people everywhere. So we have a, if we're corporate at all, we have a corporate conscience and responsibility outside of our organization to the whole blindness community and the community that that encompasses the blindness community as well.
All right. Mr. McCann, you get to be the last one up on this question.
Well, I commend everybody on their awesome responses, and I think they pretty much covered the waterfront. There's not possibly anything I could add. No, and in this context, if that were true, that'd be awesome. No, it is an extremely interesting question, and it does raise to the fore something that I am very concerned about. I think, and I said it before, I will reiterate it, that what we achieved here today in setting the groundwork, giving the constitutional authority for an advisory board, is excellent. It's exactly the thing we ought to have done, and now it is done, and I applaud our current president for having achieved that. We need to be very careful, though, because the more we look for outside funding from corporations, the more we are putting ourselves potentially in a position to be leveraged. Trust me, the corporations in the communication industry don't want to comply with what the FCC is currently mandating. They're looking for waivers. They're looking for ways out. We are demanding things of corporate America that makes corporate America not very happy with us. I think we should collaborate with them at every opportunity. But we must, if we are to have any integrity as an advocacy organization, make sure that we don't get so much from corporate America or become so much dependent on it that it leverages us when we need to demand something of them.
Luckily, I have people to back me up, which means that I will not manage to make the change we're about to make without giving Burl Colley a chance to answer this question.
Florida's so far from Washington, I thought you forgot me. You know, I want to talk about, because we've had some excellent answers up here from folks running for the board, I want to talk about image, corporate image, and normally that's the Christmas tree, manicured Christmas tree starts with a one stem at the top and then it goes all the way down to the lowest level of employees down at the bottom. American Council of the Blind is not that kind of image. The image that American Council of the Blind should have in all of your minds, because we're grassroots, is that that Christmas tree is turned upside down. And the board of directors, as well as our national office, as well as our state and special interest affiliates, and our chapters go up the Christmas tree so that the very top level that should promote our organization are our members. That's not necessarily saying that's anti-corporate. In fact, to embrace the corporate image that I'm trying to present here, the Disney Corporation and ASA, which is Swedish Airlines, both adopted early on this upside-down Christmas tree approach in saying that their employees who deal with the public are their most important asset and they need to support those. And it's been very successful for those two companies.
Excellent. That brings us to the end of the first segment of our candidates forum. And while we are changing over candidates, we are allowing the board of directors to move away from the hot seats and members of the Board of Publications list to move into some of the seats that have already been warmed for them. Nolan and I will talk for a few minutes about some interesting components, I think, that are happening this year at ACB's convention. For the first time this year in our elections, and you should tune in tomorrow to listen to them if you're listening on ACB Radio, we're actually going to be exercising the secret ballot for our elections. Today, actually, for those of you who may have listened, we used the secret ballot for the very first time in a vote at ACB that actually counted. So that was pretty exciting. In terms of our electoral process, it's a little bit different, and because we're using the secret ballot, it's a little bit more interesting. I don't know of another organization that conducts elections quite like the American Council of the Blind does. In ACB, we have two kinds of voting. We have affiliate voting, and we have the ability to vote if you are in the hall and are qualified to vote because you've paid your membership dues appropriately. And the way that works in tomorrow's election that's a little different is our affiliate votes will be handled the same way, but because we're doing the secret ballot, it's a lot more difficult for affiliates to determine how their members voted and therefore to have any meaningful blueprint of how they ought to tackle figuring out how to count their affiliate vote. What do you think, Nolan? How should they do it?
Well, you know, it's hard because you can't always tell what the what each member wants, and so it's still a difficult process in terms of that tally. And those delegates have an interesting job in terms of still polling and trying to talk to those who are there gathered. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting process. And we saw today in that election an interesting experience, I thought, in that the individual vote was very different from the delegate vote. And, I mean, I people will look at our history and say, well, that happens all the time.
But actually, it doesn't.
Yeah, I know. It seemed a little more disparate today to me than it ever has. So that it's going to be an interesting. I think the results will be interesting.
Nolan,
this time.
If you can get closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry, Larry.
Having a hard time hearing you on the stream.
I think our results will be more interesting this time because of the balloting, the secret balloting. As I had said a second ago, and I'm sorry to the ACB radio folks who may not have heard me well, the issue of this secret ballot did some interesting things, I thought, to the results today. And I'm certainly no statistician or a numbers guy, but I was a little bit interested in the difference between the individual vote and the delegate votes in there. And those who are doing delegate voting tomorrow are going to have their hands full trying to, you know, figure out really what's wanted or needed in terms of the affiliate members. So it'll be an interesting day.
I think it will. One of the things that is interesting is that it has not traditionally happened in the past that affiliate vote and individual vote actually turn out differently. It doesn't usually happen. So it's interesting that it did this time. So we are moving from the Board of Directors to the Board of Publications. For those of you who are not all that familiar with the American Council of the Blind, because of our history, we have a kind of a separate branch of governance, if you like, which is called the Board of Publications. There are five positions on that board. Two of them are appointed and three are elected. And they're elected for two-year terms every 2 years, ha ha. And this year is the year for elections, and the appointed members are appointed for two-year terms in the years when there aren't elections. So Nolan and I are the two appointed members, and there are now three positions available. To describe the situation, then, clearly we have two members of the Board of Publications who are incumbents, that is, they've served. And those are Marcia Dresser and Judy Jackson. And we have one position where one of the questioners in the earlier section has termed out of the Board of Publications, and that's Mr. Ken Stewart. And Ken has termed off the board, and there are two people left who are running for his position, and maybe, but of course they can actually run for any of the positions they choose. So anyone who says I'm making assumptions about the fact that they'll only run for the vacant position is correct. But the other two people who are running for the Board of Publications then are Miss Denise Colley and Mr. Tom Mitchell. And Denise is from Lacey, Washington, and Tom is from Utah. So, why don't we let Nolan ask the first question to this group?
Okay. Well, the question that I had written down to ask you is not one based on your qualifications, so we may get to those. Did you want me to cover that one instead? Or okay, all right, okay, good. Well, we'll take this out of order. That's fun. That'll change it up nicely. Keeping in mind, candidates, that budgets are limited, I'd like you to talk to me about a program that you would either revamp or revitalize or introduce that would in some way strengthen the ACB and the and particularly the our communications with our members and with the world generally. So in other words, again, by way of repetition, please think of a program that you would either revamp or introduce new that would in some way allow this organization to be stronger from a communications, a public information perspective. And I will start with the individual on my right, and I guess that would be the leftmost person in the group here. And we'll go from left to right.
And this is Tom Mitchell, and I thought I was sitting somewhere else. One of the things I believe that is one of our bigger problems is that the name, the American Council of the Blind, is not standing out. I think we still tend to be referred to as them other guys. You got the NFB and then you got them other guys. And we need to stop being referred to as them other guys. And I honestly believe that in whatever video production we may do, press release, audio production, PSA, whatever we may use, we need simply to be sure that one of the most prominent things that stands out is the name American Council of the Blind. That is one thing I would think that would certainly help tell who we are and be a better marketing tool for us. It's a small thing, but I think a very important one.
All right, thank you. And moving on to the next.
Good evening. I'm Judy Jackson from Austin, Texas, and I like this question because this is something that I've thought about. And I was sort of asked this in one of the caucuses earlier, so I think you cheated, Nolan.
Wasn't there.
Anyway, I the thing that I want to revamp is the content of our forum. And I know that budgetary constraints are absolutely critical there. We only have so much space. But as I said earlier today, I like to look at, you know, there's two ways you can look at this. The glass can be half full or half empty. And I like to look at it as half full. And I'd like to work within that. And if we, the other thing that I would do to help revamp it is to look at grants and other foundations whereby we could apply to get some funding so that we can do some things with our forum and the content. I think the name is something that's important, but I think if we don't have anything to go inside of the book, that whatever we call it, if we don't have the content there, then the name isn't going to get us very much. And on the Board of Publications, we deal with exactly how our communication is going to go out from it, from this organization. And one of the things that we desperately need to do in this organization is to attract more people, whether that's optometrists and ophthalmologists, wherein we provide resources to them for their patients, teachers who have children or students who are blind or visually impaired, new parents who are bringing home that baby from a NICU unit, and that
10 seconds.
Child, thank you, and that child is blind, you know, and all kinds of different pieces of information that we can put in our forum, and I think that would be one of the ways that I would look at revamping.
Good evening, this is Denise Colley. And I think the first thing I thought of when thinking about this question was, and I haven't figured out how I'm gonna trickle this down to some of our members, but I think that we have a wonderful tool in ACB Radio. And I would really like to see us figure out a way to use that vehicle to better promote the actual activities of ACB, to better promote what's going on, to better promote what our affiliates are doing, to better promote things that the board of directors is addressing. And I think we could certainly use that as a wonderful vehicle. I know they want to be utilized. We just need to figure out how to make that happen. Now, how we filter that down to our members who don't have access to ACB radio, I don't have a definite answer for that yet, but it was certainly something I would initially want to begin to work on, because they definitely must not be excluded.
Hi, I'm Marcia Dresser from Reading, Massachusetts. And on my 4 years, this past 4 years on the Board of Publications, my passion has been to make sure that members who do not have access to computers still receive the same information that goes out on computers every day. And something I've been thinking about is I've realized lately that there's a tremendous amount of activity on a couple of large phone systems for the blind and visually impaired. And I would like to see us use those to get ACB's information out there. Doesn't cost much money. We could actually stream. I would love to see main menu and all of the informational programs and even some interactive ones, you know, streamed on the phone system, on one of the phone systems, or maybe both of them. Because that way we could reach those members, you know, who use the phone systems and also attract new members who may not know about us at all.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you very much. So we took things in kind of the wrong order because we thought it would be interesting to do that. But now I want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourselves and provide us with the qualifications that you think you bring to serve on the Board of Publications. And why don't we start with Judy Jackson.
Thank you, Paul. As Paul said, my name is Judy Jackson, and as I said a moment ago, I am from Austin, Texas. The majority of my professional life has been spent in education and vocational rehabilitation. And then for the last 2 years, I've been working for the Internal Revenue Service. And that's probably been the hardest job I've ever done. I've said throughout our caucuses this week that I would much rather have a caseload of about 500 consumers than this job, just because it's been the hardest thing that I've ever done. However, the thing that's made that doable and bearable is that I can then go home in the evenings and on the weekends and do what I love to do the most, and that's work on the things that I am involved in this organization that we call the American Council of the Blind. And so with that, the qualifications that I bring to the Board of Publications is my ability to write. I've had the opportunity to work with one of my other friends and colleagues, whom you'll hear from in a minute, on the policy section of our manual
that talks about dissemination of Braille and how we are going to do that. And that's been a real pleasure. I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of enthusiasm. I have a lot of innovative ideas. Not that they're the greatest ideas, but I have them nonetheless. I think I'm persistent. I think everyone who has served...
10 seconds.
Thank you. Everyone who has worked with me on this board will tell you I'm persistent. I'm passionate about what I believe and about what I think, the way things ought to be done. And I have a way of getting people to yes, and I think that's important. I can agree to disagree without being disagreeable, and I think that's critical.
And let's go to our other incumbent, Marcia Dresser.
Thank you, Paul. I am Marcia Dresser from Reading, Massachusetts. I spent most of my time in Massachusetts, but also a lot of time in Connecticut. I have just retired from my job as a teacher of visually impaired students, but I plan to continue advocating for students in a way that I can't do at school. I am passionate about Braille. I'm a Braille diva. I have been president of Connecticut Council of the Blind and National Association of Blind Teachers, and I just became the new president of Bay State Council of the Blind. I have edited the newsletter for all three of those affiliates at various times over the last 25 years or so. Nationally, I serve on the Education Task Force and the Credentials Committee. I have learned a lot these past 4 years on the Board of Publications, and as Judy said, we both learned a great deal and enjoyed working on the policy manual together. Since we're both passionate about Braille, that was the section that we developed. Also, I have done some work in radio and, you know, writing spots and scripting things for time limits. You know, so I understand the media. And I think I am a very good listener. And also, like Judy, I can agree to disagree. And I'm also very passionate about what I believe in.
Okay, that is excellent. So let us now go to one of our two people seeking a new term for the first time. And let's do ladies first. So, Miss Colley.
Thank you. For the past 4 years, as president of the Washington Council of the Blind, I have served on our editorial committee for our newsletter, and one of those years as its editor. And it's for a newsletter that I am extremely proud of. I think we have one of the most exceptional newsletters in ACB. I've also had experience in the selection and creation of content for websites. And in my experience with the newsletter, doing writing articles, editing articles, handling circulation. For 7 years, I managed the ADA Disability Technical Assistance Center for Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska. And as a part of that, I did a lot of training on the ADA and disability rights. And so I think it has really improved my communication skills. It has helped me learn how to deal with all kinds of people and handle all kinds of situations. And I think as a result of that, I can bring those skills of being a good listener, of being a good communicator, of being a problem solver to the committee as assets to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mitchell.
My background was as I was a communications major in college, graduated in communications with an emphasis in broadcasting. I was for a time a disc jockey at a local radio station in Provo, Utah. After I left that job, though, I was out of communications for a time. But then in 1980, for about 13 years, I worked for the Bureau of Reclamation, which was a federal agency dealing with water projects in the western states, where I was a public affairs technician, writing magazine articles, press releases, and other duties as assigned, including audio scripts for audio news releases, and revising film scripts and helping to narrate various film and audio productions for that agency. And I worked there till, 1993. I have been involved in the local production of our local affiliate newsletter, where I was at one time its editor and producer. That was at the time called the Utah Courier, no longer published. At one time, for a little while, read the CCLVI newsletter, and I have served a term on the Board of Publications before, and have twice been on the ACB Resolutions Committee. I think I have a good background in writing, which stands me in good stead, so that I can hear how things can be written and how they can be made to sound most plainly to the listener. And also, while doing that, it tends to also read more effectively on the page. And I think that's pretty much my background in the field.
All right, thank you very much, sir. Let us now go to Vanna White again to see if we can't get a question from our audience. So if folks would stand if you'd like to ask a question. And if there is an ACB radio question, Larry, we could certainly take that. So we'll give ACB Radio a chance to ask a question after we hear from the audience, and maybe folks will have time then to write one in.
Hi, this is John McCann, and we've had a lot of discussion during this convention, certainly about the need to enfranchise new members. I'd like each of the candidates to speak to their thoughts about social media, what they believe the role of the BOP should be in our social media presence.
Let's see, who shall we start with, Mr. Crabb?
Well, let's see. Let's start with Denise.
All right. I'll choose the next one.
First of all, I would like to start by saying I fully endorse the fact that we need to move into this new century of social media. If we are going to attract and bring in the individuals who are going to be the leaders of our next generation, we have to go to them and meet them where they are. We can talk about it all we want, but we have to take action. I see the role of the Board of Publications as it relates to social media in terms of, first of all, us doing everything we can to promote that and make that happen. And in terms of an oversight role, I don't see that at all negatively. I know the word oversight can have negative connotations, but I see it as a means of utilizing our expertise along with the expertise of those individuals who know how to do the Twittering and the Facebook, and bringing that all together to make sure that our presence on Facebook and on Twitter is such that we truly are continuing to tell our story. We're appealing to the interests of the generation coming up and speaking to them in a language that is going to be meaningful to them and making them want to come in and be a part of this organization. Thank you.
All right. So we went to Denise. Perhaps we should go to the only gentleman in the group, Mr. Mitchell.
I think Denise has stated the case very succinctly. I think there's very little to be added. I am not a social networker. I have not been involved in that. We need to be sure. I do think we do need to emphasize, however, that we need to be sure that that which we send over Twitter or Facebook is accurate and really does tell the story of the ACB. Not being a social networker, I may be slightly incorrect here, but it looks to me like this is a thing that can work both ways, because I'm sure that it's possible that there might be others who might inadvertently say something which could be misconstrued or might be inadvertently incorrect about how ACB functions or what it does or how it works. So I do think that we need, as a committee, to be very certain that we know what's being said and that we make sure that what we say is totally accurate and mirrors our organization and tells its story and why we're here.
Thank you, sir. Nolan, you get to choose our next victim.
Okay.
Two left.
Our next victim then, if that's really how we want to look at it, our next victim will be Marcia. I'm sorry.
I'm a victim, Nolan. I'll talk to you later.
His word, not mine. Okay.
That's right. It's my fault, Marcia.
Okay, Mr. Edwards. Lucky I love both of you. Anyway, social networking is something that I personally have not gotten into. I have enough trouble keeping up with my email, quite frankly, but social networking is very important. My students are into it big time. We, on the Board of Publications, have spent a lot of time hashing this out and trying to figure out the best way to approach it. We do have a Twitter account, very ably manned by Janine Stanley. Facebook, we have not found a person to administer that. Frankly, I have seen things go awry on Facebook. You know, rumors get started on Facebook. I've seen it be a very good thing, and I've seen it be a very bad thing, personally, through friends and students. So I think that although we need to do this, we need to do it carefully, and we cannot rush into it. ACB is currently involved in a lot of projects, particularly now revamping the website under the very capable hands of Annette Carter, who's new, and the able assistance of Larry Turnbull. And, you know, that's something we have to get straightened out. And I think before we jump onto Facebook, we have to make sure we have the person power to manage it, because it's going to be a very time-intensive job that cannot be taken lightly, and it may need a couple of people to administer it. So I'm really... I feel very strongly that we need to go into this very carefully, not rush in, and make sure we have the foundations in place to do it correctly.
Ms. Jackson.
Thank you. Again, I think this is a really good question, and this is one that we dealt with earlier today as well. You know, where can you go anymore these days and not see, please contact us on Facebook, please look at, you know, contact us on Twitter. You know, the train isn't leaving the station. It has left the station, and everybody uses it. And I understand about the digital divide, and I understand that we need to be sensitive to people who, you know, don't have internet and don't have these things. But we've got to get there, because we've got to be able to, for lack of a better word, we've got to be able to be competitive. We've got to get things out there. And if we want to attract new members again, we've got to go where the members are, and we have to be able to, as Denise said a second ago, we've got to be able to speak their language. And the language of today is Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, we've looked at, as Marcia said, we've looked at Facebook, and all of the
parameters around that, and I think we will continue to look at that. And as Marcia said, we want to take our time. We don't want to rush into something that then we will be sorry for because we didn't do it right. But we will do it correctly, and we will have a Facebook that this organization can be proud of.
Thank you very much. Mr. Turnbull, do we have a question from ACB Radio?
We have two questions.
Excellent. Go for it.
Okay. Should I go ahead and state both of them or answer one first?
Why don't you state both of them, and then we'll have each person answer both questions.
Okay. The first question is from Debbie Hazelton, and she asks, for what ideas do you have for bringing ACB more involved with ACB Radio, and for ACB Radio being a vehicle more for ACB? Mm-hmm. The next question is from Christopher Wright, and this one was specifically targeted at Denise, and that question is, what types of program do you think ACB Radio is lacking?
Interesting. I think we'll make the question apply to everybody.
The first question from Debbie to clarify is, what ideas do you have for bringing more ACB involvement into more of ACB Radio?
All right. Yep. So let's see who we haven't started with yet. Let's start with Ms. Marcia.
I'm sorry, Larry. Could you please repeat Debbie's question once more? I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, it's a little.
I'm sorry.
Hang on here.
I don't want to miss.
What ideas do you have for bringing more of the ACB involvement into ACB Radio, and using ACB Radio as a vehicle
to promote
be more involved with ACB? Yeah.
Okay. I hope I get what you're talking about, Debbie. I think it's true. ACB Radio is a wonderful vehicle, and I think more people should get involved with it. The last meeting of the Board of Publications before this convention, back in May, I found out something that I didn't know, which means that we need to get this word out. There is a very easy way for affiliates to get their newsletters up on ACB Radio. If affiliates have a recorded version of the newsletter, they can get it to Larry as an MP3 file, and Larry will then put it up there. And that's a really good way for all affiliates to introduce themselves to prospective members. And it's something that's so easy, that I didn't even know it existed. And I plan to make sure that the Bay State newsletter and the NABT newsletter get up there too. And the second question, since I have no brain, I forget what it is.
Well, the second question related to...
The second question was from Christopher Wright, and that one was specifically for Denise, but I think others can answer it as well, is what types of programming do you think ACB Radio is lacking?
I think we need more programming for students. There was a program for a little while that a high school student was doing, and my student was all excited about that. And then unfortunately that had to go away. So I'd like to see that happen. And I'd like to see more specifically for seniors as well. The two populations that I think we don't reach often enough.
Let's do Tom.
Debbie, you've asked a very interesting question. And I've been sitting here thinking about this for just a moment. And the first thing I want to do is compliment Larry Turnbull. He's got a thankless job, and I think has done a marvelous job in promoting ACB Radio through its programming and finding programs. But I agree with Marcia. I think we need more programming for students. But I happened to visit the families the ACBF Families Group yesterday, and I almost felt like they apologized because they were such a small group. And I think that it might be good, perhaps, to have programs for parents of blind children. So it could be good a good advertising tool, I think, for ACB Radio as well. I know that there are blind there are parents of young blind infants and toddlers who don't know quite how to deal with this child. How do we raise it so it can be independent and so it can lead a, if not a normal life, or not what most people would consider a normal life, a good life, a good and a productive life? I think this would be an excellent type of program to pursue, perhaps, along with more programming for students. There should perhaps also be a program for the elderly blind or those going blind in old age. Somebody's going to ask me, how are you going to get this kind of programming? I don't know. One of the things, as I've sat here thinking, is we need, I think, to give Larry some help in program development. But I think these are some things that we could do. Let's see, and Chris, I have forgotten your question. I'm sorry, Larry.
What kind of program is ACB Radio lacking?
Actually, I do believe I have answered that. So I think I answered both questions in one.
Very good. So, Ms. Jackson.
Hi, Debbie and Chris. Thank you for your questions. And I'm going to answer them, I think, as one, because I think they're similar, if I understand them correctly. You know, we were talking earlier, Nolan asked the question about how we would revamp something. And I talked about the forum, and I talked about the budgetary constraints and all of that. And while there's budgetary constraints with ACB Radio, too, you know, I think we might be able to get some of the things that I just talked about donated, like maybe a teacher, you know, somebody like Marsha who's worked in the field. Maybe Marsha could have a spot on ACB Radio, a tip for the teacher. Yeah, I don't know what you'd call it. I mean, that's kind of cheesy, but something like that. Maybe we could get some ophthalmologists and optometrists around the country to, you know, give us ways that parents could work with their child so that they use the most maximum amount of their vision as possible. Maybe we could have a low vision specialist that would talk about, you know, how you deal with things like glare and lighting and those kinds of things. So I certainly don't want to imply in my answer that I think things are lacking in ACB Radio, because it may not be that anything is lacking, but you know, every one of us and everything that we do and the things that we're involved in can always be improved or enhanced. So rather than it lacking, I think we could do some things to enhance ACB Radio. And I think whatever vehicle we use, it's our communication piece.
10 seconds.
Thank you. It's our communication piece, and it's the thing that tells the rest of the world or the rest of the country what we're about. And communication is the most important thing we do in every facet of our lives, whether it's with our spouses or our parents or our children. The way we communicate is critical.
Ms. Colley.
Thank you. The first thing I want to say is I was not in any way implying previously that I felt ACB Radio was lacking in any way. I think ACB Radio is awesome, and that is why I believe it is such a vital tool. A lot of what I would have said has already been said. However, I would add, you know, we could do something like meet the affiliates. You know, having different affiliates come on and talk about what they're doing. Another thing is, you know, I'm always asked the question when I go out and talk to people about ACB and what it does, why do we have special interest affiliates anyway? What the heck do they do? I think we need to find a way to, I mean, it's pretty obvious what state affiliates do, but I think a lot of people don't really understand our special interest affiliates, what they do, how they operate, why they're important, and why state affiliates would want to have special interest affiliates. I'd like to see us, you know, give them an opportunity to toot their horn a little bit once in a while. I think it's just being able to find ways of having that dialogue and promoting ourselves and telling our story. And I would honestly have to say, I don't think it's all on ACB Radio to have to figure this out. We, the membership, need to be going to them with ideas. We need to be going to them and saying, you know, we have this idea for a show or an ongoing program or an interview or whatever we would want to do. We need to go to them with our ideas and with our willingness to be a part of that kind of thing. Not just sit back and say, yeah, ACB Radio, you need to do all these things, because it's not all their job. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to ask the audience here and the folks on ACB Radio to express our appreciation to all of the Board of Publications candidates. And I would also like us to offer congratulations to those who are running for the Board of Directors. The Board of Publications every year does the Candidates Forum, and we are truly interested in your feedback on how this approach worked tonight. Every year there are those who tell us how badly we've done, and in general that's what we hear, we're told that we should have not asked people all the questions. We're told we should allow people to target certain individuals. We've been given all sorts of ways of handling it, right down to seeing who could answer the best trivia questions. Please let us hear from you. Give us your ideas on how best we can showcase the people who are asking for support to take office in ACB. Nolan, any final thoughts?
No, I think you've said it well, and I certainly am honored to have co-hosted this with you. It's been a lot of fun. I've never run for an office nationally in ACB, and so I've attended these as an audience member, but it's been fun to be on this side of the table, and I hope these candidates won't feel too put upon and victimized by some of the questions that we've come up with, and I think it's been a real enlightening experience for all of us, actually, and it's been a lot of fun. I appreciated the opportunity. Thanks.
So on behalf of Nolan Crabb and the entire Board of Publications, this is Paula Edwards saying thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for listening, and good night from Louisville, Kentucky.
All right. It was a pretty informative discussion and meeting the candidates.
Were you standing?
Do you think they've got a lot of information there?
Great enthusiasm. They have students to have definitely.
YouTube.
That's right.
They all seem up to the challenge. I think it's going to be really interesting tomorrow. Unfortunately, I was not in the session today when they took the first sample of Coke. So I think that's going to be really interesting tomorrow to see how all that runs. And
Mr. Nolan, thank you so much.
For not only the elections, and
we don't get to do this next year.
Votes that we need to take. So that should be really interesting to listen to as well.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's
going to be an interesting session tomorrow with voting.
Separating was the right way to go.
The way it looks, I'm not sure if any of the candidates are running against each other. So it might be just an acclamation. I'm not entirely sure on that one.
We're basically going to be okay no matter.
There could be other nominations from the floor.
Yeah, people could be nominated.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
What these candidates here are the ones that are not running at this point. So, you know, there's you have the candidates who were came out of the nominating committee.
I'll try to do better.
Not all of these candidates were the ones who came out of nominating committee. They are
I think it would have been good to hear it.
Those
thank you for
also
coming.
Who
thank
have you. Who have put their names out there to run,
hey, and they will question,
be
Marie.
Those who haven't come out of the nominating committee will be running nominated from the floor. So we don't know who we're going to get tomorrow. There may be somebody, you know, completely out of the woodwork that we never expected tomorrow, and that does happen sometimes.
Yep, that's true. Well, I think we will sign off tonight. The replays of today's session will start about 10 o'clock, I think. 10 o'clock it should be for that. And then the candidates forum, we're going to go ahead and get that put up on the on-demand area where you can download it and listen to it at your pleasure.
And so back again tomorrow morning for a full day.
Oh, yes.
Of the business of ACB.
Yeah, we'll be on Main Stream all day tomorrow except for a slight lunch break.
Except for a lunch break, yeah.
Which you'll be hearing from sponsors during that time.
Tomorrow night, of course, the banquet.
Yes, tomorrow night.
That as well.
Yep, that'll be on Main Stream as well. So
welcome your feedback and comments, as well as what Paul said. We'd love to hear what you think about the coverage and any comments you have to throw our way as well.
Yep, and that you can send to support@acbradio.org if you have any comments or questions related to specifically to the coverage of all the convention stuff.
Absolutely. I'm gonna go thaw out.
Yeah, we're gonna go grab food and
it is
all that fun stuff.
Yeah,
the AC vents are kind of blowing this way.
So if you want to get a good idea of the what it truly is like to be here, just think of a cold room, and they're trying to counteract all the heat outside, so they're doing a very good job, I might say.
Yeah. In fact, I wonder if it did storm. When we went out there earlier, the wind was really blowing, and it was cloudy.
Yeah. I don't think it rained, at least at the time that we were out there, or at least before the time that we were out there, but I don't know what it's done since. So we're about to find out in a bit. But thanks for listening again, and we appreciate all of you out there. And it makes it all worthwhile to do this, knowing that you all are out there listening and caring as much about ACB as we all are here. So we appreciate you all out there listening, and we'll be back to do it all again tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, good night, everybody. And you'll probably hear some music until about, in fact, I know you will. You'll hear some music until about 10 p.m., and then the replays of today's session will be starting at that point. Good night.